Hi, everyone out there in Radio Land. This is the Mike and Abe Show with Carolyn today. Okay, and
hi, Mike and Abe.
And we have some very
breaking news. Yes,
let me say, we have some breaking news here. If you have not heard yet, it's all over the newspapers, TV, and radio. Okay, our beloved, which one is it? Taxi commissioner.
Be gone.
Okay, how's that? Taxi commissioner has decided to resign, or as it says in Politico, I just want to say, I have Politico here somewhere. Okay, it says, I lost Politico, but it says, did she resign or was she fired?
Oh, please. I mean, what's she going to do, sell insurance? I mean, she makes $185,000 a year.
Yeah.
I put my money on she was fired effective in a month. So,
it's what politicians do when things are going wrong. Somebody has to be to blame.
Mm-hmm.
It's never going to be, you know, the mayor or the president or the governor. It's always somebody underneath them who has to go. Not that I think she's done a good job, but I don't think all the bad ideas were, you know, coming from her. Okay, I found Dana Rubenstein, New York City Taxi Commissioner Mira Zoshi, whose policy positions de Blasio had been undermining in public, is leaving the administration. So you see, she was on your side, but she was undermined by the mayor.
Yeah.
Now the finger pointing is going to start. Whose fault is it that there's 130,000 cars on the road? How did that happen?
Yes, how? How did that
happen? Well, how does it happen at all? Yeah. I mean, in the suicide, I mean, you talk about, she was the Human Rights Commissioner. And when she gets the chance to defend the first-generation immigrant, the first-generation immigrant under her watch saw his slash her medallion drop by about $1 million. Excuse me, I aspirated a piece of pancake. But
yeah.
It was horrible. Go ahead.
Well, how did it happen? The TLC ignored all their own rules. That's how it happened,
we wound up with
130,000 cars. They took away all barriers to entry. And they stepped up the licensing process to make it faster and more efficient. They didn't have to do that, but they did.
Let me jump in here for just 1 second. It says in Politico, and this is not this is another article in Politico by Gloria Pazmino. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, it is not clear if the New York City Taxi Commissioner Mira Zoshi was asked to resign. Okay. Now, let me just say something. The late Alan Decker, okay, who was a fabulous lawyer in our industry and who I wrote for his newspaper for 16 years, once told me that when a TLC commissioner is assigned, the first thing they do is they ask for their resignation paper. And they
That's probably true of all high positions.
Yeah, yeah, and that they hold that resignation paper for a time which they may want to use it. Okay? And so so I think de Blasio broke out the resignation paper and said, Amira, it's time. Okay?
You know, somebody called him up on Brian Lehrer's show a couple of weeks ago, a man who called himself Alpha, and he was a yellow cab driver. I'm not sure if he was a medallion owner or not. Maybe he is. And he said,
probably my friend, Alpha. I know
him. Oh, you know him? Okay. I don't know if you heard what he said. He said, you know, I'm in the parking lot at JFK and LaGuardia lot, and I talk to the other drivers. And I say to them, what are you going to do, you know, come January 1st when they do the congestion surcharge, which we're not doing at this moment, and I guess we'll talk about that a little later. And he said, I ask them, what are you going to do? And they say, I have a plan. And he says, what do you mean by a plan? And they don't answer, but he knows that they're thinking about killing themselves. And the mayor was really taken aback by that. I mean, who knows what kind of phone calls and letters they're getting from cab drivers and owners.
That's true. That's true.
Mm. You know, when you put people in an impossible situation and they live under this horrible stress year after year, and then every time they do something, it seems like things get worse. They don't get better.
Well, let me just jump in there. Under Mira Zoshi's watch and de Blasio's watch, these people are guaranteed a paycheck every day. I mean, we open the front door.
Right.
We don't know what we're going to get. We're going to get, like the other day, our friend with the broken water pump.
The guy with the camera
got a broken water pump.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. It's a broken water pump on the Grand Central It's not your father's broken water pump, okay? It's like the modern generation broken water pump.
Well, you know what that incident cost us, okay? It cost us close to $1,000 between the water pump, the two toes, right?
And the two toes.
And the loss of time, okay?
And you lost the shift.
Yeah, right. It cost close to $1,000.
Okay, I'm catching on. Did you have a passenger in the car?
There was a passenger in the car. Yes, there was. There was a passenger in the car on the Grand Central Parkway. Okay.
Oh, wow.
The passenger. And now, Mike, you know the area. How did the passenger get from the Grand Central Parkway onto the street? What did he have to go through?
Fortunately, it was right by the diner on Astoria Boulevard and 70 Street.
Yeah.
And I guess the passenger just hopped over the guardrail, went across the highway and into the diner to get breakfast. So yeah. we've spared no inconvenience.
Yeah, well, he was able to
get it. Let me get back to my rant.
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, so Joshi goes from being the Commissioner of Human Rights, now she's going to be the legal counsel to Matthew Doss when he was running the show. Mm-hmm. And ironically, when she's the Commissioner of Human Rights, so when she gets in charge of the TLC, the first generation cab driver who finally has a piece of the American dream, a taxi medallion, under her watch and de Blasio's watch, and de Blasio has to start taking ownership of this mess. He's a big, not my fault. No, it's his fault, because under his watch, the medallion dropped by $1 million, and it's disgraceful. And also, not only did he not auction off basically, the city of New York had a chance to auction up little pieces of tin and papers that cost about maybe $3 to make for $1 million. No, that's not good enough. They flood the streets with Uber cars, and it keeps blaming Cuomo. No, I blame de Blasio, I blame Joshi, and I blame them because they held the auction, and right now, thank God, our old pal Dan Ackman is organizing a lawsuit to see if he can sue the city to get some of that auction money back, because the city of New York basically told these medallion owners that they were going to get a piece of the New York American dream by auctioning off taxi medallions to them, and the minimum bid was over $500,000 in many instances, and these cab drivers trusted the city of New York with that minimum bid, basically stating to them, who are not, you know, law school grads, that, okay, well, kind of like whatever happens, it's going to be worth $500,000, so I'll take a chance. Okay, maybe it won't go up to $1 million, but at least if I buy something directly issued from the city for $500,000, I'm guessing, since they're setting the floor, that they're kind of guaranteeing that in open court that it's going to be worth at least something if I want to get out.
Well,
okay,
so maybe it won't be
worth $1 million, but maybe it's worth something.
They
but
were
that,
selling
that went down
them,
the drain completely.
They were selling them the horrible exclusive right to the street hails in the city of New York without defining what the street hails were. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is.
Yeah,
this
that was
is,
the key problem.
Right,
you got
right,
it. Yeah.
Right. Right. To me, a street hail is somebody standing on the street that wants a taxi. Period. Not somebody. Mm-hmm. Standing on the street and tapping their phone. However they do it, they're standing on the street. Okay.
Right. The TLC admitted that.
Yeah.
But you know, not to relitigate it, the judges, you know, didn't see it that way. And that lawsuit you referred to, that's been going on for 2 years already.
Well, this is Ackman. Ackman said he's trying to get it going. And pardon the French, but Dan Ackman is a no-bullshit guy. So I'm glad to hear that he's been, energized with this case, because he's the guy to get something going with this. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you something else. It's I'm wondering if Joshi, with her so-called resignation / firing, if she's going to, in the spirit of moral fiber, in the spirit of the climate of this, if she will make a pronouncement and say, you know, just so you know, everything's up to snuff, I am not going to go work for an app company. I wonder if she's going to say in her resignation farewell speech that she is just, for the good of the industry, not going to work for Uber or Lyft. Because if she goes to work for Uber or Lyft like 10 minutes after she quits the taxi commission with all our proprietary information, I think she should be just barred and thrown in jail. That's my opinion.
I think there's a rule on the books that you can't do that as a public official for a year. But there could be go to work for Bloomberg, because that's where she really comes from. And she worked for Yasky. I don't think she was there when Doss was in office. I think it was Yasky when she was general counsel, but she's been around a long time.
Well, let me tell you, if she goes to work for Bloomberg, that pretty much guarantees Trump gets reelected because she's been a horrible administrator. So I'm hoping she goes work to Bloomberg, so that'll be the end of that. But why don't we do this? Why don't we make Trump in charge of the TLC? That's what we should do. Next chairman.
Yeah, come on. Listen.
He sounds like a medallion owner.
There are two questions. There are two questions that have come up. Number one is, who will replace her? And number two is, why are we waiting till March for her to be gone?
Right. What's going to happen?
Right. And if it goes the way it usually goes with us, of course, it could be worse.
How about I quit and she walks out the door like Monday morning? Okay.
Right. Yeah, I would think. Yeah. Right. And, you know, they still have a vacancy among the commissioners. You know, you're supposed to have, I think, 8 commissioners and the commissioner, and I think there's still one missing. The Manhattan one has never been appointed.
You know, and the other thing is, where's our fare increase? She never gave us a fare increase on our watch. She never gave us a dime.
No, that's the $250. That's going to Albany. Yeah. That, can you imagine? That would have given all the drivers another $10,000 a year. How great that would have been for owners and drivers.
Well, that's what
that
should happen.
That would have been
fabulous.
I mean, that would have made the difference between life and death for some people.
That's what should happen, and hopefully we could get it to happen. All right? Nothing's etched in stone. You know, everything is it's tied up in the courts right now, this $250 nonsense surcharge, okay?
You know, for the MTA, not for us.
Yeah, for the MTA. And hopefully the courts will see what's right and what's wrong and stop this $250 from happening and give us a chance to get that $250 for the taxi drivers and owners.
The TLC didn't make any rules or forms or mechanism, or they didn't change, you know, say you could change your meter or anything. There's no mechanism in place for us to even really collect it.
Okay.
But getting back to the reactions, Gail Brewer had a reaction. She said de Blasio was making a big mistake by letting TLC Commissioner Mira Zoshi step down. She is brilliant, a woman of color, an attorney, as well as data-driven analyst and advocate for better wages for drivers. DOT relies on TLC data.
Well, there are a lot of smart people
together.
In
what
this
can I
world.
Tell you?
There are a lot of smart people in this world that can step right into her shoes, okay, and do just as good a job and do more right things than she has done, okay?
Right. And apparently the next chairperson, one of the qualifications with a taxi and limousine chairman and chairpersons is that they want someone who's never driven a cab or driven a limousine or never driven a for-hire vehicle. I mean, it's the most ridiculous chairmanship in the world because, at the very least, they should get someone who at least drove a cab to the end of the block. I mean, you get all these chairmen coming in from the political clubhouse. Nobody has any experience, and I think that's what happens. You have to learn the business on the job, so you pretty much burn a year of you being in office. And I'll tell you something. That not having a fare increase hurt. It hurt me because I was looking at my end-of-year stuff. It's a joke. I mean, I work, let's say, part-time on the weekend, okay? I used to work full-time years ago, but I'm pretty much just weekend warrior with the cab thing. And I like it. It's a great part-time job. I look at my numbers. They're down the drain. And the medallion owner's numbers are down the drain. And I'll tell you something. I am extremely ticked off at these people who are ranting and raving about, oh, no, you don't want a fare increase. You have rocks in your brain. You do not want a fare increase. It would have pumped up the medallion price. It would have put more money in my pocket, let alone your pocket. And I think the industry has been seeded with fake news artists, like propaganda people from our competitors who have just been rife with corruption and brainwashing the cabinet and say they don't need a fare increase. What are you joking me? New Year's Eve. Let me think. Well, first of all, New Year's Eve, as I'm swinging away here, where were the app calls on New Year's Eve? It's a rainy New Year's Eve in New York City. You would think we'd be getting a lot of app calls. If you don't get app calls on rainy New Year's Eve in New York City, at what point in time do you get app calls for yellow cabs? What the hell is going on? And that's another thing with this fare increase. New Year's Eve, these people would have been throwing money at the cab drivers for an entire month. We could have the fare increase going right after Thanksgiving in December, break it in for the new year, and a fare increase would have chased away this MTA BS of $250 a trip surcharge, because the MTA and the governor and the mayor would have had the guts to charge another $250 after we got a fare
right.
increase.
It, had you known what was happening, we should have captured it first before they gave it to the MTA, which is, I looked up the salaries of the MTA. The average is $90,000 a
That's
year.
That's right.
Okay, so what's wrong with this picture? Wow. You have, you know, guys making $40,000 a year subsidizing guys making $90,000 a year. And an enterprise that loses more money than Uber, I think they lose about $6 billion a year, and has more debt than Puerto Rico. I think they have about $35 billion in debt. I mean, it's horribly managed, but you're going to pay for it. I mean, you didn't cause the congestion. Well, that's actually the gist of the lawsuit.
You know something? They should, close down all the subways. Close them down, okay? And sell and sell municipal bonds to people to fix the subways, okay? And get, and,
well, yeah,
and,
they've done that already, but they're afraid to do that because the MTA credit rating is already down. They've been lowered by the rating agencies.
Well, here's the thing.
And the more debt they issue, the lower their rating will be, the more interest they'll have to pay, the broker they'll be. So it's a vicious cycle.
Let me just jump in here, guys and gals, and say the one thing that makes me crazy is, in essence, yellow cab drivers, as per the governor and the Mickey Mouse elected officials, they want us to pump in $250 a trip for the yellow cab below 96th Street in Manhattan, which is discriminatory, and $250 a trip to pump up the bond ratings and revalue the bond ratings that are going down the drain for MTA. We're basically being extorted to pump up private investment. I mean, that's antitrust. It's illegal. I mean, it won't make it through the federal court. And I'll tell you one thing, it's not going to make it through the Supreme Court these days. Last I checked, you got a lot of new people on the Supreme Court. So this thing is going to go down the drain. So go ahead.
See, you think this is going to go all the way to the United States Supreme Court?
It could.
I hope it does. It's illegal.
It could. You know, you got hundreds of millions of dollars involved here. You know, billions.
Right.
Okay. Well, I mean, this is, and I'm wondering if the lawsuit against the surcharge succeeds, if that will encompass the MTA tax that we have been paying since 2008, okay, and stop that too, okay?
Yeah, I don't think that's part of the lawsuit.
I know,
it's really the same thing.
Yeah, but it is the same thing, and if one succeeds, there should be another move to go after that, okay? And if not recover the money, at least stop it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Part of the lawsuit is an argument that you shouldn't be charging credit card fees on amounts of money that the driver doesn't even get. Tolls, like the congestion charge.
Yeah,
and all that.
I agree with that.
Right? That's not fair. That is part of the lawsuit also. So
the credit card fee, right now I've had, I call them Uber refugees. Like people who are too drunk for Uber and they don't want to mess up their star rating, so they lower themselves to come back to a yellow cab, and they put a $20 ride on the credit card, and they don't tip. So we get a $20 ride on a credit card with no tip, so 15% is down the drain, 5% is down, so 20% fare decrease for the drivers and for the industry is that back. And that's another thing they got to look at. So why am I incentivizing someone to charge a fare in a yellow cab? It should be the other way around. I mean, If you look at the gas station, it has a price for cash, price for credit, and you get billion-dollar companies promoting that in their gas station. It's like, listen, why am I lending strangers $20, $30 off the street? I don't know these people. I mean, why can't I get every single fare in advance versus a credit card? And a lot of times you have bad charges on the credit card. Driver gets stuck, the person is gone. It's over. Or the medallion on it gets stuck. But the system runs okay. But, again, why am I getting a fare decrease? Why am I getting a fare decrease to take credit cards? At the very least, at the absolute very least, we should get a 5 or 10% fare increase to cover the credit cards. I mean, where was Joshi on that? What did she do? I mean, honestly, God, what did this person do?
Basically, what she did was she and others deregulated the taxi business. But they never said they were deregulating. But there have been hints of it all along. Her chief of staff, Don Miller, had a piece in something called Medium. It's something to do with Twitter, but it's like another part of it. There's a Medium post by the TLC. And in it, they explained when and why and how they regulate. And basically, they don't regulate. That's the new thinking. They only regulate to help people in wheelchairs get accessible means of transportation. They regulate to protect public safety. And what was the other thing they regulated? Oh, driver, to protect the drivers. That's it. No mention of this multi-billion-dollar franchise, and the governor refers to the medallion as a franchise, that they sold to us. There's no reason, as far as they're concerned, to protect that. So this just didn't happen by accident. This was part of policy as thought out by people at the TLC. And so how did it happen? They ignored all their own rules. They took away all the barriers to entry. They stepped up licensing, and, oh, what a surprise. You wind up with 130,000 cars on the street. You know, how's that working out? So now we have horrible congestion, and who's going to pay for that congestion? You! It's insane.
Well, here's the thing. If Mike, Abe, and Carolyn go up to the TLC, and we just sit down in the TLC for a meeting on the Board of Commissioners, the okay, the meeting will come and say, wait, Mike, Abe, and Carolyn, what are you doing sitting on the Board of Commissioners? No, we're just going to sit here and vote on stuff. So you can't do that. There's procedures. There's a cap on the number of people sitting on the Board of Commissioners. There's a cap on the number of people sitting in Albany. And there's a structure to things. There's X amount of number of police officers. But all of a sudden, it comes back to the taxi industry. It's a different story. And I'll tell you something else. The fact of the matter is, for 70 years, this business worked great and was an open door for the first-generation immigrant. And I think it might be something more insidious. You might have a de Blasio administration who was a wannabe socialist dictatorship, in my opinion. And it might be just their political basis to keep the poor poor. I mean, you get first-generation immigrants who wind up owning a medallion that's worth $1 million. That's not keeping the poor poor. So you have a political base that thrives on the need to keep the poor poor.
Yeah.
And in that regard, Joshi and de Blasio are doing quite a fine job, let me tell you.
Right, and then he could also cater to his real estate interests, who like having 130,000 cars on the road. Because that way, if they build a little more remotely, part of the selling pitch to the people buying the expensive apartments is, don't worry, you'll just press a button and a car will come to the apartment building. You don't even have to, you know, worry about standing in the street trying to get a taxi because it's all taken care of for you.
Or you don't have to worry about taking the L train. And that's another thing with the of the L train people.
Yeah.
They said they're going to rip up the L train for 2 years, which probably would have been 10 years. And all these people moved out. I had a kid in my campus. And he said, you had to give up his apartment in Brooklyn because of the L train and live as a roommate in Manhattan. And all of a sudden they said, the project is done. We're not going to do the project. So you wonder what chicanery went on with that as far as bait and switch with the real estate
still,
game.
That's still up in the air. That's still up in the air. First they said
because the board has to approve it.
Yeah, right, exactly. And then first they said that
Cuomo forgot about that momentarily.
Well, Cuomo thinks
that the
board believes he's the board and everything else. You know,
right.
If things go okay, if things go badly, then it's not my fault. Well, it's not my job. It's not my job.
Yeah, well,
my plan for the subways. I've always said my plan for the subway system in New York City is get all the people out one day and just fill all the subways with concrete. The end. That's the end of it. Enough.
No subways.
With concrete what?
He wants
just to fill it up with concrete.
Other words, he wants to fill in all of the subways with concrete and you know, or bring back the dirt that they had to dig up to build the subways and put it back in.
Say, okay, that's enough of this.
Where did they do with all that dirt? Did they create politicians with them?
I think they emptied. Yeah, they filled the heads of politicians. They ruined political brains.
They dug up all this dirt to build the subways and turned the dirt into politicians over the years. Okay, that's what I'm saying. You know,
it's like a horror movie.
But getting back
to the TLC, a pile of dirt would have done a better job than Joshi and de Blasio in the last 6 years. I'm just literally a mound of subway excavation dirt I think the medallion would be worth more money. If you would say, okay, we're taking a mound of subway excavation dirt to run the TLC for 6 years, it could have been worse, right? I mean, just that would have been it, you know.
Now, I was thinking, if we could go back in time to 2011,
mm-hmm.
and let's say I was commissioner of the TLC then.
Right.
Okay, and I call in all my commissioners, and I say, we're going to have a big meeting. You know, we're going to have a whole new policy regime that's going to take place. And I want you to consider it, and then we're going to vote on it. Okay, what we're basically going to do is deregulate the industry. We're going to put unlimited numbers of cars on the road. We're going to take the rates off the yellow cab doors. We're going to change the inspection rules on black cars and loosen everything up so we can get more and more of them on the road. And, oh, yeah, also this 100,000-plus fleet of cars we're going to allow on the road is going to be run by a multinational corporate predator funded by Saudi Arabia and Russian oligarchs. Okay, if we had that meeting at the TLC, I guarantee you the other commissioners would have said, what? Are you out of your mind? There's no way we're going to vote yes on something like this. You're going to destroy a whole industry, the franchise. You're going to create congestion, pollution, crashes. You're going to prevent people from taking public transportation.
Mm.
This is terrible. When you know, you're going to destroy all the credit unions. We're not voting on this. But they did. But they did it one little part at a time, not seeing the whole picture each time they voted on this stuff. And the city council did, too. Because it's like the boiling frog. You know, you put him in boiling water, he tries to jump out because he knows what's going on. But when you put him in lukewarm water and just raise the temperature gradually, he boils alive. And that's what happened. I mean, these people, they serve part-time. They're not paid, the commissioners, you know, other than, you know, the head commissioner. Maybe they don't have a full understanding of the picture and of the entire history. And that's where we are now. They essentially deregulated the industry. I don't know what they're going to do now.
We are the frog. We are now the frog in the boiling water.
Yep.
That can't get out.
Maybe they should make Ruben Diaz the TLC chairman, or Chris Lynn, his lawyer and ex-TLC chairman.
Yeah.
Or Rodriguez, the guy from uptown. Rodriguez or somebody
who knows what to do.
Yeah.
All right, or bring back.
You know, it's interesting. Idonis Rodriguez said in the city council that there had been a plan to destroy the taxi industry. He said that.
Oh, he did.
He's one of the few that's really acknowledged, you know, out loud and in public, that, you know, there's really something going on here. And Jumaane Williams said that we should sue the something off.
Well,
we
all know what Bloomberg said at Madison Square Garden to Gene Friedman. We all know.
Right.
It was said in public. It's in all the newspapers. You can Google it on the internet. He said, I'm going to destroy your effing industry. You know? Mm-hmm. I don't know what's wrong with saying the real word. You know? He said it. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't a kids show. Okay? He said, I'm going to destroy your fucking industry. Okay?
And he did.
And he did. He did. Okay? And the smart...
Well, not completely, but certainly we're going down that road.
With those words, the smart people got out while they could still get $1 million for the medallion. Okay? I guess I wasn't smart enough because I didn't believe them. I didn't believe there was...
Well, I'm in that club, too.
Yeah, I know. I didn't believe that it was possible for him to do this. You know, but he had a plan. He already had the plan. The plan was already in place. Okay?
Right.
And all he had to do, he said, when I get out of office, he said in January, which was a few months down the road. Okay? And he had a plan. He didn't want to do it while he was the mayor. Okay? He wanted to do it behind the scenes. Okay? Which I believe he did. Okay? So Mira Joshi was working for him then, okay? Why was she left to continue when de Blasio came in? De Blasio was supposed to turn around everything that Bloomberg did, okay?
Right.
These people weren't friends, Bloomberg and de Blasio, okay?
Right, and there's a lot of Bloomberg leftovers at the TLC besides Mira Joshi.
Right,
there's a whole bunch.
And I want to know how Lyft and Uber got my email address. I want to know.
That's interesting.
Well, how did they get my email address? I'm still getting emails from Lyft. Okay, become a driver.
I get emails every day.
Yeah, become a driver. Become a Lyft driver.
Yeah.
Get a $500 bonus. You know, immediately. You know, go to heaven.
Oh well, yeah, I get that kind.
You know, get sent to heaven immediately. You know.
But that tells you something interesting,
yeah.
That they're having a problem recruiting drivers.
I know they have, yeah, but that's good. That's good. Right? But I want to know how they got my email address. I didn't give it to them.
Right. Okay. Well, they have mine too.
Yeah. Well, you
Before I forget, let me just jump in here and say, I heard on the radio last night they were blasting about be careful drivers because left turns are three times as more dangerous than right turns. How in the name of God are left turns more dangerous? Because right? You're sitting on the left side and you can see more. And then the bell went off. It was like getting hit in the head with a salmon thrown across a Brooklyn fish market. Why the left turns are now more dangerous than right turns when you're driving. Altogether, class, which side of the street did they put all these bike lanes on?
Okay.
So they've screwed up the entire city, and they've made... the city of New York and Polly Blackenberg has now made the bike lanes a street menace and dangerous for unlicensed bicycle riders.
Right.
And apparently it's now more three times as dangerous to turn left because you've got bike lanes there and people are getting hit and run over all the time in the bike lanes. Thank you, Polly. Unbelievable.
And those bicycles are going both ways. On one-way streets. I mean, they do whatever they want.
Uninsured.
Not to mention that many of them don't even use the bike lanes.
Right.
They're drinking. They're drinking and they're on drugs and, you know, doing everything else off the bicycle. No license plate, no ID. And
no insurance.
There was a guy the other
No insurance.
What's that?
No insurance.
The what?
The bike is,
no
bicycles have no insurance.
And now they're all going to be motorized and electrified. So they'll be going 20 miles an hour down the sidewalk. That's
with no license
fun.
And no insurance.
Right.
In a bike lane.
That's correct.
The thing is, if the city was going to take away so much street space for the bike lanes and the pedestrian plazas and all this other stuff, and they're a sacred cow now, you can't get rid of them, then you've got to reduce the number of cars on the road. And the way you do that is, you know, by having a medallion system and a limited number of vehicles to transport passengers. You can't have unlimited vehicles and at the same time be taking away the street space. But for some reason, they don't seem to get that. Or they don't seem to want to do anything about it.
The statistics don't lie, and de Blasio initially got elected with 16% of the registered voters, and he beat a very good guy from the Board of Ed. I forget what the heck his name was. But in the primary, he won by 0.16% after getting 16% of the vote. So this is the big mandate.
Yeah.
But a lot of his core support in that 16% initial vote were these bike people who wanted bicycle rights. Oh, we want bicycle rights. See, my view would have been to see if you could get a situation where you register and insure the bicycles, not for like $1,000 a year, probably get it something basic, like $100 a year, especially for commercial bikes. Because you got guys incentivized to drive their bikes into cars now to get lawsuits, all right? Because we have these crazy courts. But the bottom line is you have to do something with the bikes. They're going 30 miles an hour. They hit you. It's a vehicle going 30 miles an hour. And especially if they're motorized, they got to have insurance. But this is another de Blasio thing. And one more thing about Yoshi and de Blasio. What happened to the EPA while they were putting on these 100,000 extra vehicles for car service and Lyft and Uber and Schmoober, the pollution is spiked in the city. They keep talking about, we have to save the planet. Great. Get rid of de Blasio, get rid of the Yoshi, get rid of the Uber cars. You'll save the planet.
The city is even divesting itself from fossil fuel investments in their pension plans. That's how strongly they feel about this. But at the same time, they're adding, 100,000 extra cars on the road. Are you saying that they're hypocritical?
Extremely hypocritical. And also, Carolyn, have you heard anything about the MTA or the Transit Workers Union having investment with Uber, like through one of their little
shell
companies?
No, I don't know. Those guys don't talk.
I see the MTA buses with Uber and Lyft ads, especially Uber ads, plastered on the back of them.
Mm-hmm.
And Uber is just sucking money away from the MTA at millions a day. They talk about us. It's like, listen, You turned over the streets. There's nobody on the subways. I've gone to the subway at rush hour. They're empty. And the buses, they're empty. So I'm just wondering, where is the noise from the Transit Workers Union to say, hey, our worker's going to be unemployed soon because there's no money coming in thanks to Uber and Lyft? I'm just curious if the unions have invested or if the city has invested in these crazy companies, in my opinion.
I think everybody's out for themselves. So the older, you know, upper echelon guys really don't care. They're going to be gone, you know, pretty soon. And I guess the younger guys don't really have any power to do anything about it, because I've never heard any reaction from any of those unions about Uber. You know, you would have thought, you know, that they would say something when they gave away the bus franchises and, you know, to Chariot and some other companies. It's very strange. It's like everybody knows the situation is just coming to an end. So everybody just wants to get a piece for themselves. Which is not a good situation. But the next thing the TLC is supposed to be doing is coming up with the magic number of how many cars we need to have on the road to transport passengers.
A lot less than it is now, I'll tell you that.
You know, I would say you should use Doug Shifter, who was the third person that we know of who killed himself. He was a livery / black car driver. And
right.
I think before then he actually owned a medallion, but I think he'd sold it a long time ago. But he made $100,000 a year, okay?
Yeah.
That should be the rule, the ruler, you know, whereby you measure this. If somebody could go out there as a black car driver and make $100,000 a year, I'd say the industry's in pretty good shape.
You know,
without any kind of, you know, income rules or anything like that. If that's happening, you know, you're good and everything's okay. If he can't make a living, then you have too many cars on the road. It's really not rocket science.
You know something?
They make it very complicated.
Let me just say this. When I was still out there driving, and I stopped driving in 2012, you didn't see many people out there that couldn't get a ride. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they should go back to the number of cars that were out there, and there were also black cars and livery cars out there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They should go back to that time and figure out how many people lived in the city and how many cars were out there. And if there are more people living in the city now, then they should raise the number of cars.
There's not that many more.
Yeah, okay.
What skews the figures is when you look back, right, in the 70s, when we had population drain, it looks like hardly anybody lived here, maybe only 7 million.
Right.
But if you go back to 1950, there were 8 million people living in the city.
Right.
Okay, so 70 years later, there's another 600,000. That's all there is compared to 1950.
Well, what I'm saying is go back to the whatever number of cars were out there in 2012, And start with that, okay? If you need a few more,
it was about 50,000.
Yeah, okay. If you need a few more, maybe you might want to add another 100 or 200, okay?
Well, don't forget they added 18,000 to that 50 because they had the green cab program, which didn't work out.
Well, the green cabs were livery cars that were already out there. Okay,
but you had the potential for another 18,000 cars could have been out there.
Well, 18,000.
That never happened.
They were converting livery cars into green taxis.
Yeah.
So this shouldn't have changed the number of cars out there.
Yeah,
okay?
I see what you mean. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. All that was doing was making them legal where they weren't legal. Okay. You know, this is what Yeski said. Well, they're out there doing it anyway, so you might as well make them legal. Well, murders are being committed every day anyway. You don't make that legal, right? Okay.
No, we should just tax it. That's all. That way we can make revenue.
Or such as the marijuana situation. Mm-hmm. You know, people have been smoking marijuana right along ever since it was made illegal. So now they're finally finding out, you know, we should have been taxing it. Okay. So now they're going to make marijuana legal in New York. It's going to be made legal nationwide very soon. Okay. I've been reading about this. All right. And I just want to say something. There was an interesting article in City Lab this week, which says the headline is "The Many Ways to Fund New York City's Big Subway Fix." Okay, congestion pricing is one of the things they list. All right, but that would be congestion pricing to all, not just the yellow cabs and the Ubers who somehow worm their way out of it anyway, even though you think you're getting money from them, but you're not. Okay. But they have things like land cap land value capture, rezoning, mm-hmm. and I like this one, the, what is it, the PIDATER tax, okay, which is...
The what?
The P-I-E-D-A, it's just sort of a French word.
Pied-à-terre.
Right, where they charge right. someone who buys an apartment but doesn't live in it.
Right, exactly. Right.
Right.
And there are thousands and thousands of people from all over the world that own apartments in New York City but don't live there. Well, how about coughing up $5,000 a year for that privilege?
Well, it's all worse than that because those new apartment buildings don't pay any property taxes because they have abatements that go on for decades.
Okay. All right,
so they're losing, I think, a couple of billion dollars a year in property taxes because they don't charge property taxes on these new luxury buildings.
Yeah, to go after the yellow taxis, which is really the solution, not the problem. You know, yellow taxis are on the street.
Right.
You know, they're to keep cars off the road. Okay?
Right.
You know, a yellow taxi can transport 50, 60, 70 people a day who otherwise might have a car on the streets, okay?
That's why nobody in Manhattan has a car. One of the reasons.
Yeah, because there are taxis, right? You know, but to tax the yellow taxis, you know, congestion tax, it's like telling them, stay out of town, okay? And you won't pay the tax. No, you're needed in town. The taxis are needed to keep congestion down. Okay,
right.
It's insane. The whole thing is insane. You know, it is obviously a plot against the taxis. You know, this started with Malcolm Wilson with his MTA tax. Okay, where's Malcolm Wilson today? Remember?
You know, I don't know. Who is Malcolm Wilson?
Probably driving. He's probably
driving
an Uber.
No, car, no, no. I'll tell you where he is or where he has been. He's looking out of with bars in front of him in jail.
Uh-huh. Oh, you mean Malcolm Smith?
Oh, I'm sorry, Malcolm Smith. I apologize. Right, Malcolm Smith. Right. Okay. This is the guy that got on TV when they started the MTA tax back in 2008. He actually assumed the governorship for a day or two because the actual governor wasn't there for some reason, and said, I will not let the people of this city down. We will find a way to fund the subways. And then he said, let's get the yellow taxis. Okay? You know?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know?
Let me tell you something about this garbage.
Yeah.
Is the other thing with the MTA is, I've often said the MTA is a pirate ship for the state of New York. Nobody sees their books. And me driving a cab, and Abe, you running a cab, and Carolyn, you run cabs. For $2.75 each, I can take a lot of people throughout the core of the city. If you get four people paying $2.75 each, it's $11. That covers a lot of area in Manhattan. So how can the inky dinky yellow cab that doesn't get federal subsidies and has to rely on crumbs from losers like de Blasio and Yoshi with their fare structure, how can we make a living at $2.75 per person? And the MTA, where all of their stuff was already built, the tunnels were dug about 90 years ago. All they basically have to do is replace a couple of wires and get some, you know, and kill a few rats. How come they can't make money? I mean, I'm just looking at this in amazement. And I say it's just a complete travesty.
Well, all they have to do is take those $90,000 a year salaries from their employees and cut it to 89. Or 88 or 87.
Who's getting 90,000? Who's getting 90,000?
The MTA employees.
The MTA.
I mean, like the guy, the conductor, and the guy driving the train and the bus driver?
It's an average. So, you know, there's probably a lot of guys at the top who are making maybe 200,000, and I know there's guys at the bottom making maybe 50, but it averages out.
And they
milk 90.
They milk the system with overtime also.
I know somebody
who worked at the MTA. Who's now retired, who did track work. He didn't have a desk job. He was down there in the tunnels laying track. He had so much free time on the job that he wrote a novel.
Yeah, half the people that work in these places just stand around and watch.
It's not up to them. They're not the ones who made that decision, you know, that's how they're going to work.
No, but
here's the other thing.
It's mismanagement.
Let me just barge in.
Barge in.
I know I'm very, I'm very rude, but let me just say, because I'll forget. I don't forget. The one thing about the subway where there was a problem with maintenance is you guys hit the nail on the head. You can't watch these people. And then they have this thing, oh, my God, protect us from 9/11. You really shouldn't be taking pictures on the subway. Because every time you take a picture on the subway, you take a picture of a rat or a guy working for the MTA sleeping in a lawn chair on the job, which I saw a while back. But the problem with maintenance in the subway, you can't see these people. I mean, you can see maintenance actually being done. I would say dollar for dollar, more money is spent productively on maintenance being done above ground, because you can see people working or not working. But below ground, they might as well put a roulette table down there. I mean, these guys don't do anything. I mean, there's like three or four people working. The other eight people are watching them and texting. I mean, I see it every day. And this might be the problem. I mean, you guys hit the nail on the head, because when you are working on the trains in the subway, nobody else knows what these people are doing. You just see them running around in orange vests and blowing a whistle and waving a lantern, but nothing gets done. Nothing gets done. Anyway, back to you guys.
Well, stop taking our money, MTA. Stop taking our money, Governor Cuomo. You know, that's all I got to say. Stop. Stop. Find other ways to fund these things. Okay? We don't go to work and drive a taxi so that people can get on the subway.
But isn't it funny there hasn't been much reaction from any of these politicians to the lawsuit to stop the congestion surcharge? Nobody's talking about it.
They know it's a loser. They know they're getting hell from their constituencies, and they know it's a loser. That's why.
So one of the representatives of the governor said the other day, well, we could find another way to get money. You know, almost like he's giving up. I don't know.
Well, maybe they should give up because we're right. We are right. Might sometimes makes right, but sometimes right makes right also. You know, we're right. We're right about a lot of things. We're right about...
How many decisions have you made at 2 o'clock in the morning that have been good decisions? Probably not too many. And that's what happens
if I make it while I'm dreaming, you know, it's a good decision, you know. You know, unfortunately, I have to wake up. Okay, but we're right. I just want to say we're right about the street hail thing, about what a street hail is. A street hail is somebody standing on the street. Okay, period. No matter how they do it, it's a street hail. They're standing on the street. Okay, they need immediate service. Okay.
Right.
All right. They're gonna wait a half a minute for a car to come from the next block. All right? You know, no. Right. That's a street hail, okay? You know, a prearranged call, such as what all of the other cars other than yellow taxis are supposed to do, is, it's 1 o'clock now, can you pick me up at 1:30? That's a prearranged call, okay?
You know, it's interesting, when they first put e-hail into the yellow cabs, it was controversial because
it was called an electric hail.
Hey, wait a minute. Right. You're not supposed to do it because that's prearranged. We're supposed to do it. So then there was something in the way they crafted it that we could do an e-hail, but it was going to be within a certain geographic area. I mean, it wasn't going to be way on the other end of town that you were going to pick somebody up. It was somebody in maybe half a mile away, a quarter of a mile away, something like that. So, I mean, they were recognizing the difference between real prearrangement and, you know, something that was almost momentary. But, well, that was a long time ago, and now we're all doing everything, which has created this blurring of the sectors.
This is why we're in so much trouble now. You mentioned far away. You know, if they wanted to make everybody happy and have everybody, you know, do a little compromise on this, okay, they should say that any e-hails between 96th Street and the Battery can only be done by yellow taxis.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah.
Okay. And the rest of the city of New York, Uptown Manhattan, you know, the what they would call the non-exclusionary zone, okay, could be done by either one, yellow or private cars, whatever you want to call it, black cars, okay, you know, Uber cars, whatever. It could be done in those areas only, okay, where the yellow taxi paid mucho money for the rights to the entire city of New York, okay? These other people have not paid one penny to the city of New York.
Right.
Right?
Okay. Well, there should be a lawsuit by the taxpayers on that one, I think, really.
Right. Let me tell you something about the MTA MetroCard. They talk about fares. This is the problem why the MTA, another reason the MTA is going broke, no thanks to us. You have the MetroCard. Let's say I always get a weekly MetroCard. I never get a monthly MetroCard because I know I'll lose it. That's me. So I pay $32 for a MetroCard. And so this week the cab broke down, and I got it fixed, and I didn't need my weekly MetroCard for another 3 days. So I don't know if it's legal to say I gave it to someone else, but I didn't use it for 3 days. But I paid $30 a week. But you got people trading the $32 a week MetroCard between four and five people. So instead of the MTA getting $1.15 a ride with a metal token like they were doing in the 90s before this farcocked MetroCard system came in, now you have four or five people paying, basically, I did the math, you could pay like an average of 70 cents a ride for the trains if you split your MetroCard between like a day person and a night person. A guy going into work at night, guy going to work in the day, they split the MetroCard. You can dog the hell out of the MetroCard. If you get 40 rides per week, let's say that's only about six rides a day, you're paying 70 cents a ride.
So what you're saying is these people are sharing their MetroCards, which is unlimited, with other people. And
absolutely.
You should have to show your ID when you use the card. Okay.
Well, I think that would take too much time. But then there's all the people who aren't paying at all.
Hold on a minute. They could make a system where you put your thumbprint on the the booth where you're going through, and it recognizes you as that person. They do it in banks.
They do it in banks. That way you're being tracked.
Yeah, but they do it. They do it in banks and other places where you have safe deposit boxes. I had a safe deposit box once where I had to put my handprint down for them to recognize me. They could do facial recognition. Oh, wow. There's all kinds of systems they could use where people will not be able to share the card with somebody else. Okay.
One thing De Blasio would scare.
Yeah.
May I?
Yeah, go.
One last thing. I know I'll forget, I gotta say. One thing with De Blasio, he's talking about, we have to get fair. So basically he wants to give every dragon deadbeat in the city half price MetroCards to ride the train. So he wants to incentivize every crackhead and homeless wacko who shouldn't be probably on the trains in the first place. He wants to incentivize them by giving half price MetroCards to the people who can't afford. Listen, if you can't afford to live in the city, don't live in the city. That's my opinion.
He didn't want to do it. He was dead set against it, and then the issue just got sort of taken away from him. So, once you see that, you just jump on the bandwagon. But that was really Cory Johnson and a bunch of other people. Listen, it wasn't actually the mayor. He did not want to do it because he knows how expensive.
I'll give you one guess how he wanted to finance it. He was going to use the surcharge money from almost $250 per yellow cab ride.
Yeah.
To directly, he was going to take $150 million out of that potential revenue source of the $400 million that was projected to come in, all things being equal. Because I don't think it'll be $400 million because a lot of people are saying, bleep you, I'm not taking a cab if it's $250 surcharge. So he had his little heart set on getting 40% of the, that $250 per ride stuff to finance half-price MetroCards for the so-called poor who can't afford to pay $5 a day to ride the trains. I mean, come on. Let's be reasonable here. We're not communists. If you can't afford $5 to ride the train, that's not my problem. Why am I paying for you as a cab driver? And besides, look who's driving a cab. You got guys who've been in the country a year. They're making a living driving a cab. These people can't make a living who've been here forever? What right do they have to sponge off the first generation immigrants who are working and busting their butt every day to incentivize the dregs who don't want to work? Get out of here. Let Trump run the TLC. That's what I think.
It would have been a fun mayor, I'll tell you that. Can you imagine with Trump as mayor?
We'll compromise. We'll let the left impeach Trump as president, and we'll bring him back to New York. We'll make Trump the mayor. That's the compromise.
Okay? Yeah, okay.
Bye.
Everybody, that sounds like fun.
First I'll run the CLC. Hey, we want anything else? I got to get out of here. I got to feed cats and drive cabs.
Okay, I think we've covered it all. Okay, I want to thank everybody. First of all, let me just thank our sponsors. Okay, and let me go to the page where I have them, so I'll remember who they all are. Okay, just give me a second here. One click of the mouse, two clicks of the mouse. I want to thank the MTBOT for being a very good sponsor for us. Okay, and you know they're a wonderful organization to work for. Okay, and if you wanna work for the MTBOT, just go to NYC Taxi News, look at their front page ad up on top, and call Canchin Das at 784-4343. And I want to thank Checker Management for helping sponsor this wonderful website and radio show. Checker Management at 1105 38th Avenue, Long Island City, along with WB Taxi at Long Island 3511 43rd Avenue, 718-729-7777, and Queens Medallion, okay? In Long Island City, 2103 44th Avenue. They have great deals if you want to buy a car and lease a medallion. Okay, 718-784-9292. And that's it, Mike. You know, anybody else want to advertise with us, give us a ring. You could leave a message at 516-447-0953. Okay, or send us an email, nyctaxinews@aol.com. All one word, NYC Taxi News. Okay. Mike, you want to say anything?
And I just like to say, I just want to say, like, I'll be working in a song for when Yoshi leaves. It's kind of like, goodbye, Yoshi, goodbye, goodbye, Yoshi, goodbye.
Well, Mike, she doesn't have to no see anymore.
No see. Goodbye, no see. Goodbye, Josie, no see.
I was thinking of another song. There's a country song.
What's
that? It's by Trace Adkins. If I fall, you're going with me.
Oh, God.
And I think
she's in
now. We may be going down, but she's going with us. I just want to read quote from the New York Post by cab driver who I think Mike knows, Sergio Cabrera.
Yeah.
He was quoted in the Post. Daniel Fofaro called him for a reaction. So he said, I needed some good news today.
I read
has
that.
To be an industry person who really understands what we're going through, not some Uber crony who is doing the company's bidding. I hope whoever gets in there can get to the bottom of what happened in this city.
Yeah.
I don't even know if it's important to get to the bottom. I just know they need to fix it.
Yeah, okay. You know? Taxi Dave.
If they get to the bottom of this, they better hold their nose.
I want to shout out to Taxi Dave. Now is your time to fill that seat. Okay.
Yes.
Right.
I second.
If they want a professional lawyer to fill that seat, I want Chris Lynn. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yep.
And I want on the TLC board of commissioners, I want an ex-taxi driver. Okay.
Yeah. Definitely.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'd be happy to fill that seat.
Actually, someone
I'd be happy to fill that seat, and I think I'd be very good at it. But I'd have to fly in for the meeting.
I second the motion.
Okay. All right.
So
that's it. Okay. I have nothing else. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to the Mike and Abe with Carolyn show. Okay. And we're not on enough lately, but we're going to try to keep you posted. Okay. And I'm going to put the headline.
We're going to be on more. I've been re-energized now that there's some there with a new, hopefully a new chairperson who won't be another carbon blob for 5 years. So someone who'll be doing something positive for the cab drivers and the taxi owners who have been destroyed over the last 6 years with this horrible regime that just is winding down Bangkok.
Yeah. Okay.
So anyway, got to get out of here. I'll see you guys later.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Bye, everybody. Okay. Thanks for tuning in.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye guys.
Bye.
Bye.